We're talking today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel. Daryl, we're into the first quarter of 2016 now. I know a lot of folks, you know, really the bottom line is that we're glad 15's over. I know a lot of folks in the cattle industry are.
Well, we are. We went through a tremendous shock in the second half of 2015. And what I think we forget sometimes is that the upside was just as big a shock in the sense of something we didn't expect. We didn't know how it would play out. So, you know, if you put a little perspective on the two things, but it wasn't fun. And obviously some folks got caught with a set of cattle in 2015 that are, you know, they're not going to get out from under of without losing some money. That said, we've made the big adjustment. We've gotten back to where we need to be relative to the broader market picture. And we go on from here with those things behind us. And so we can look at 2016 and beyond a little bit differently.
I guess, you know, those high prices kind of get stuck in your mind. But the reality is the current price level that we've got in our cattle market still is relatively a strong market, historically speaking.
Absolutely. You know, again, the whole run-up from mid-2013 through the first half of 2015 was really a market that it got increasingly desperate to jumpstart herd expansion. So all of that price action was directed at the cow-calf level, and it worked. I mean, other conditions were changing, too. Obviously, we had to get out of the drought and some other things, but it really did jumpstart the herd expansion. It wasn't going to last very long, and still, yeah, we've got relatively good returns. And by historical standards, and we're going to have opportunities for returns going forward. We're going to have to put a little more emphasis on managing the cost side of things to protect those returns, but there's still good opportunities here for the next 2 or 3 years.
Let's talk about, you know, where we are right now here in this first quarter. We continue to see a lot of red ink in the feedlots.
The feedlot situation, you know, they suffered the worst through this thing, and their situation has improved, but it's not fixed yet. And so that's a continuing process. Feedlots are going to struggle through the first half of the year at least. But we're slowly bringing those margins back into line. There's going to be some opportunity for them. You know, they've really been through the ringer in the worst way. So that's sort of the last step. As I look at the markets broadly speaking now, I see a lot more things that we can kind of relate to, say, as opposed to the unusual things we saw through much of 2014 and 2015. You know, prices kind of make sense relative to each other. We're seeing some seasonal tendencies that we can kind of relate to and those sort of things. And again, we haven't totally fixed it, but we've made a big step towards improving those feeder to fed cattle price relationships that will give feedlots a chance for some margin here at some point.
Last cattle on feed report about a week ago now. It seems to me the weight breakdowns made a lot more sense, although if anything, we're seeing a lot fewer of those lightweight cattle going into the feedlots. Where are they right now?
Well, this isn't a time of year when we have a huge number of those lightweight cattle out there in the country, but they were way down, you know, relative to the last few years. And it wasn't just a comparison to a year ago. I went back and looked because I thought the same thing. It's really significantly lower than the last several years. Last year's number wasn't really unusual. So, yes, there's few of those lighter weight cattle, which means that's going to, you know, obviously reduce supplies coming out of the feedlots down the road. There were more cattle placed in the heavier weight categories, although less emphasis on the heaviest weight, relatively speaking, than we've had the last few months. And part of that's a sign that we've also cleaned up some of our issues in the feedlot coming out of last year in terms of these heavyweight cattle. So, there's a number of signs that we're sort of back to I hate to call it a normal cattle market. I'm not sure we know what that is at this point, but at least one that where a lot of the pieces kind of make sense and we can sort of relate to them. And it does seem like we're a little bit more business as usual at this point.
The stocker end of the business, obviously this is the margin business, and probably for those that got caught late summer, early fall with some cattle, they're not looking too good. But overall, what opportunity there to make some money, you think?
Well, it's going to be a little bit tighter on the stocker side. I mean, again, get past the turn of cattle that got caught in the turning point, so you can't do much about that. But if you look at it in the last couple of weeks, actually, if you look at Oklahoma feeder cattle prices from the lightweights to the heavies and you look at the value of gain, for the first time in many months, that price relationship really reflects feedlot cost of gain. And, of course, corn's fairly cheap. So feedlot cost of gain, if they're doing everything else right, is down in that 70 to 75 cents a pound range. That's basically what the market's offering stocker guys now as a value of gain. That's less than we've seen at a lot of times. And I wouldn't say you can't make some money at that level, but it's a much tighter margin. And so I think it means stocker producers are, again, going to have to be a little more careful, push the pencil a little bit more going into these deals to make sure that there is a margin for them.
When you talked to the SunUp folks here a couple of days ago, you raved about the wheat pasture conditions. That is a factor, obviously. If a guy's got good wheat pasture, maybe he can really put some good pounds of gain on fairly cheaply.
That's right. And, you know, we're delighted to have the best wheat pasture conditions in a number of years. And, unfortunately, if you look at wheat markets, wheat prices, some folks may decide that grazing out that wheat is the best opportunity. We're at the point now where we got to make that decision. The wheat folks are telling me that we reached first hollow stem in northern Oklahoma this week. We were already there last week in southern Oklahoma. So that decision's got to be made right now. And there may be some opportunities there to take advantage of good wheat pasture and put on some of those pounds relatively cheaply.
Last few years, we've talked several times, you and I, about the folks that are in the driver's seat, the cow-calf end of the business. Are they still in that position, you think?
I do. I don't think the expansion is done yet. I think the market is, you know, it's past the sort of panic stage that really drove the prices that we had, you know, that unusual spike in prices. But there's still a need for expansion. I think we're still probably 1 million to perhaps 2 million head of beef cow short of where we'll end up. And so that expansion will happen. I think it'll happen at a slower pace. Obviously, with what we've taken off of the calf prices and those margins, you know, cow-calf producers are going to move a little more cautiously. But there's plenty of indication in the numbers that we're not done with expansion. So we'll see expansion in 16, in 17, and possibly even on into 18, depending on how much we do in the next 2 years.
For sure, we brought a lot of replacement heifers that hadn't calved yet into the new year based on this last cattle inventory report.
We did. Again, the revisions to year-ago numbers kind of changed what we saw going into 2015, if you go back and relook at that story. But you know, the fact that there is still a significant number of replacement heifers out there says, you know, again, confirms that we're still in expansion mode. And again, I think that's what we should be. I don't think, you know, current conditions, it's going to cause folks to proceed a little more cautiously, but I don't think it's going to interrupt that expansion. 3.5% expansion of the herd last year was a very aggressive number. It's one that I expected, but it's a very aggressive number if you look at it historically, and I don't expect to see that again. We'll probably drop back to the, you know, 1.5% to 2% range or something this year, and then it might be down even less than that next year, depending on where we get and also what signals we get about how big we really need to be.
2016, what's the game plan as we go forward? First quarter now, we kind of have got the lay of the land. What's the game plan for these various segments?
Well, again, I think you can, you know, for the first time in a long time, kind of take these markets more or less at face value. As you said, we've sort of got the lay of the land. I think we've made the kinds of adjustments for the most part. We're still working on that feeder to fed price relationship a little bit. But by and large, you know, you can almost treat 2016 as a sideways year. There will be some downward pressure, obviously, as we go on in 16, 17, and 18. We're going to push these prices a little lower, but at a much more measured pace. And so you know, a lot of the big jumps in the volatility, I think, from the standpoint of what the cattle industry does internally, at least, is behind us. So I would, you know, sort of take today's prices as kind of where we're at. I would lay sort of normal seasonal price patterns on that in terms of your expectations. So we're seeing some seasonal increases in most of our markets in the spring, as we often do. That means we're going to expect to see some seasonal pressure in the fall that pushes these calf prices lower and cull cow prices lower and those sort of things. And again, I think it's you know, maybe it's not normal, but it's at least sort of business as usual at this point.
Extension livestock market economist Dr. Darrell Peel visiting with us at the recent Texoma Cattlemen's Conference in Ardmore, Oklahoma. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.